Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and we are Bookshelf, the program that introduces a book every week. Earthly life builds the eternal life. To achieve this success, God has facilitated us with the power to ratiocinate and bolstered that by providing us with prophets and imams to show the way that leads to God's will. To that end, God designs religion. Religious law sets how we function as a group, a family, a society, a nation, and a being. We use legislation so that everyone can have a clear idea of how we should treat each other and ourselves. God is the ultimate legislator, however. Religious scholars don't make law. Their job is to discover God's legislation. With the demise of the Prophet, Muslims deferred on who is the just successor of the Prophet. They broke into two main sects, each with its own subsects. Today, Islam is generally known by the Shia sect and the four Sunni subsects. For those of us who aren't in the legislation discovering profession, knowing how other sects think helps us in our encountering and life with each other. After a short break, we're going to introduce a book on some Islamic legislations and how they are perceived in different sects.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
You are back to Bookshelf Broadcasting on IRIB English Radio from Iran. And today we were talking about a book that covers three legislative subjects according to various Islamic sects. The book has been published and freely distributed by the Islamic Culture and Relations Organization, Iran. This organization was founded in response to the expansion of Islamic institutes acting independently to disseminate Islamic knowledge to countries other than Iran. As they introduced themselves, a rise in expansion in Islamic activities demanded unified and coherent policies and operations, and thus the cultural authorities of Iran formed a new organization to cater to the needs of the cultural activities in foreign countries in 1995 under the name of the Organization of Culture and Islamic Relations, also known as ICRO. The ICRO is affiliated to the Ministry of Culture and Islamic Guidance and carries out its activities under the guidance of the leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Today's book is on Waqf, legal disability, and will and bequest. The book studies these subjects according to five Islamic sects, including Shia, and four Sunni sects, which are Hanafi, Hanbali, Shafi'i, and Maliki. The book has been written by Allama Muhammad Jawad Maghniyeh and published by the Islamic Culture and Relations Organization, distributed for free on al-islam.org. Before I get into an excerpt of the book, waqf means to dedicate something to a specific cause, thus rendering it uninheritable and unchangeable. So when you put a mosque for waqf, that's what it's going to be forever, a mosque. Hajj means legal disability, and it basically means a person who is unable to make decisions about their own lives or property, like the insane. And finally, wasiyah means will and bequest. So the book is called Waqf, Hajj, and Wasaya according to the five schools of Islamic law. It's 68 pages, and it goes into the details of these legislative rules. Let's take a short break and I'll be back with an excerpt. You're back to Bookshelf Broadcasting on IRIB English Radio from Iran. We were talking about the importance of understanding Islamic legislation from the viewpoint of various Islamic sects. I want to read a part of this book, which is about a discerning child. A discerning child, Mumayyiz, is one who can, in general, distinguish between that which is harmful and beneficial, and who understands the difference between contracts of sale and rent, and between a profitable bargain and one entailing loss. The Hanafis say, the dispositions of a discerning child without his guardian's permission are valid, provided they involve sheer benefit, the acceptance of gifts, bequests, and waqfs, without giving anything in return. But the dispositions in which the possibility of profit and loss exists, such as transactions of sale, mortgage, rent, and bailment, are not valid except by the permission of the guardian. As to a non-discerning child, none of his dispositions are valid, irrespective of the permission of the guardian and regardless of the thing involved being of petty or considerable worth. The Hanbalis observe a discerning child's dispositions are valid with the permission of the guardian. So are those of a non-discerning child, even without the guardian's permission, if the thing involved is of petty worth. For instance, where he buys from a confectioner what children usually purchase, or buys a bird from someone in order to set it free. The Imami and Shafi'i schools state, a transaction by a child, whether discerning or not, is altogether illegal, irrespective of whether he acts as an agent or for himself, irrespective of whether he gives or takes delivery, even if the object transacted is trivial and insignificant, and whether it involves a vow or a confession. Al-Sheikh Al-Ansari observes in Al-Makasib, the basis of invalidating a child's transaction is a narrated consensus, strengthened by an unusual preponderance. The criterion is to act in accordance with the preponderance. Alright, so I hope you get the idea how it goes into details of how each sect thinks about various laws that are discussed in this book. If you missed it, don't worry. We were talking about waqf, hajj, and wasaya according to the five schools of Islamic law, which you can download for free from al-islam.org. You can also download an archive of our program from our website. Until next week, and another book from IRIB English Radio Broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.